All right. Hey, I got some trivia for you. You guys ready for trivia tonight? All right. It's going to be this side against that side. This side's in trouble. All right. No switching sides right now. We're going to go through Acts, just a few here, okay? If you know the answer over here, raise your hand. If you blurt it out, they get the point. This could get serious. I'm going to start with this side. Who wrote the book of Acts? Go ahead, Matthew, do you have your hand up? Yes, sister. Luke did. Very good. Very good. Yes. Okay, someone on this side? Someone on this side. Who told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Yes. Jesus did. That's right. That's right. Jesus did. I'll call on you, honey, on a harder one. This side. Who preached the first sermon in Acts? I've been preaching. You're killing me. This. Matthew? Peter did. That's right. Very good. Peter did. On this side, so far it's pretty close. How many responded to the gospel when he preached? 3,000. You almost got that taken from you, sister. I heard that. Okay, good, good. Good, good, good. All right. This side, it's 2-2. Who was arrested for preaching in Acts 4? Who was arrested for preaching in Acts 4? No looking now. All right, Sky. No. Paul didn't come to faith in Christ till Acts 9. Anybody want to have a second try? Matthew. No. Anybody over here want to try? Opie? Peter and John. Peter and John. That's correct. All right. Yeah, this side's good. Going back to this side, what couple died in Acts 5? Go ahead, Jeremiah. All right, Ananias and Sapphira. What did they deserve for death? What did they do? May? Yes. So technically they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's right. This side. What conflict did the church have so that 7 deacons had to be chosen? The color of the carpet? No, just kidding. Scott? That's right. The widows. And there was a little discrepancy. What was it between two kind of people? What was it? Well, yeah. Yeah, and go ahead, Roger. That's right, the Greeks. That's right. Over here. Who was killed by an angry mob for preaching? Stephen was. Very good. All right. This side. Who led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord? You already had your chance. Elizabeth. Nope. Oh man, AJ's all upset. We're back to even. Over here, Nicole? Philip, that's right. That's right. Off to this side. We're even back again. We're even, Stephen. Finish this. Saul, Saul, why? Hannah? Yes, that's right. Very good. This side, who said that? Lynn. He sure did. We call him Jesus too, but he is God. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Last question over here to win the whole thing. Careful on this. What present-day country would Saul of Tarsus be from today? Sister. Nope. That's what I would have picked. In fact, I had it written down that way, and I looked it up. Yes, turkey. That's it. That's it. Very good. Very good. You guys get out of church first. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. All right. Ephesians 4. I told you this morning it was going to be called dependence. Dependence. Every tax year, I so appreciate my dependence. By the way, after 16, I don't get them anymore. That's weird. So I'm already out two kids. Nope. We're going to be talking about the old man tonight. And I remember Pastor Thompson, every once in a while he would talk to me about his dreams. And Pastor Thompson had a not so good first 30 years of his life. Pastor Thompson, the longest standing preacher of Grand Hills Baptist Church, was a whiskey running outlaw. He worked for the mob in Illinois, and then he was involved in a lot of bad things. He always had this statement: if you want to make a lot of money and you don't mind how you do it, you can do it. He would also admit that he never had a thing until he came to faith in Christ. Never had a new car, never had anything. Because the way of the wicked is hard. And he said he would have dreams that every once in a while he was smoking and drinking and cussing and carrying on in his dream. And he would say, I would come out of that dream like a drowning man. And maybe you have those every once in a while where you have a dream of what you used to be. Some of you younger kids, by God's grace, don't have to experience that, of having a life that was full of sin. But that is part of Pastor Thompson's testimony, that he had to put away the old man by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this scripture speaks about that. And we celebrate Independence Day when we broke away from the motherland and became America, the Republic. No longer controlled and taxed and forced to live according to the king on the other side of the world. This was a great day for us. Even now on this day, we still reap the benefits of being Americans. Even though the things are far from right, it's still the greatest country to be in, to live in, to raise your family. But our forefathers never took independence so far as to say that we were independent of all areas of our life. Because the day the colonies left England was the day we became interdependent on each other more than we had ever before. We had just done something incredible. And why were we interdependent? Because the enemy just lost their place in our lives and from receiving any benefits from us. And that means only one thing: war. That's what it meant. It was the day we declared war. And we're at war right now. And every once in a while, the devil will accuse me of something that may I have done 35 years ago. I don't know if this happens to you. It happens to me. And he'll come walking around. He'll get me. You know, he won't get me at a happy time. He'll get me when I'm down and, you know, I'm laying there and the devil comes up. You're this big old fat preacher. You can't even preach. And, yeah, you're just wasting your life. And then he'll say, you remember those days? You haven't really changed. You really haven't changed. You know, even thinking about them now, you know, And I will have to say to him, leave me. I'm not that way anymore. Even from my youth, sins of my youth. And that is putting off the old man. I have this week, you might have noticed a little thing on my lip right here. A little spot. If I bump my mouth, I get a cold blister when I damage. I went to the doctor, says, you know, can you do anything about cold blisters? He goes, no. I said, why do I get one when I bump? He says, well, you traumatize your lips or anything. That happens. I was out with the boys hunting, I bumped my mouth. You know what he told me? He says, that stuff lives in my spine. And it comes out when it wants. It's not normal, thank the Lord. It's not on my lips all the time. Some people do struggle with that. But it's in my spine and it stores up there. And whenever it wants to come out, generally during a bad time, when I bump my mouth, it comes out. And I have to take medicine or lysine. If you ever had lysine, it's good stuff. Good, just a vitamin that really does a good job on that. And it reminds me of my old life. I get bumped around a little bit and it comes out. It's not my normal life. It's just I'm still at war with this flesh. And I have to be dependent on my relationship with Christ to continually overcome the old man. So just as we are dependent on each other as a country, so it is with us today with Christ. You have become independent from the power of the world, the flesh and the devil. You're saved. And we have learned that Jesus Christ has delivered us from this bondage to a life that is dependent on Christ. We're not free agents. The only way you can be free, and free indeed, is to be in Jesus. Otherwise, we're in bondage. There's an old song. Hope sings it to me every once in a while. Desperado. I like that song. She sings it so good. And there's a little part of that song that says, freedom? Well, that's just somebody talking. You know what a prison is? Walking through this world all alone. And without Christ, wasn't it a prison? Without Christ. Now I'm taking a secular song and making it my own, but that's what I think of. And he's won this battle for us, has delivered us from the enemy with mighty power and strength. And he has, as we read last week on Sunday evening, Christ took captive those captivity. Christ has a strength and power. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. He embarrassed them and triumphed over them in it, being his crucifixion and resurrection. A lot of amazing things happened spiritually as Christ died for us and went to the Holy of Holies up in heaven and sprinkled his own blood on the holy seat and paid the price that God demanded for our souls. And so the issue is not if Christ has enough strength, but if we have enough dependence on the Word and his power over this old man. So let's read about it. Would you stand with me? Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Title, my Bible says, The Christian Walk. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Lord, we thank you for this scripture. It is very complicated. Lord, it takes the Holy Spirit to understand it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, may I speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, how do we become dependent on Christ? How do we become dependent? And the first thing it says here is no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked. This is a clear command, not a suggestion. This is a command. Do not walk like the world. The world walks a certain way. If God commands you to do something, he will enable you to do it. So he's given us a command here. And so if he's given us a command, he's going to give you the power to do it. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about living a Christian life in this world and I go, wow, that's just impossible. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. But it's clear that without the power and might, through the Holy Spirit, it's not possible to have a regenerated life. Is what we're talking about. You can have a reformed life, but that is not a regenerated life. We can turn a new leaf and we will still be lost. But to turn from sin and self to Christ is a complete dependence on Jesus and Jesus alone. It's a life regenerated by God Himself. The first lesson is that God has commanded us not to walk. That means our daily conduct, like the world, and Jesus enabled us to do so. He's given you the strength to do that. Now, why should we not walk like the world or with the old man? Why shouldn't we do that? Well, obviously for their testimony, we'll never lead someone to the Lord walking with no change. Maybe you've seen that before. Someone say, I'm a Christian, and I heard they're a Christian. Everybody goes, man, if they're a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. We've all heard that. But why should we not walk like the world or that old man? Well, number one, it's in verse 17, because of the futility of their mind. That's what it says here, the futility of their mind. In order to live outside of the command and will of God and still feel justified as a person, must twist the truth. You gotta twist the truth to do that. And suit your own lifestyle. They do it all the time. We say, we're gonna just twist the truth so it fits me. We've all done that. In so doing, they walk in the futility. What that means is vanity. Wasted life without purpose or direction. You don't get to take the truth. But Brother Joe Sewell always used to say, hey, you get your own opinion, but you don't get your own truth. Now, what that means is there's only one truth, and Christ is it. And you can try to twist it all you want, but there's only one. And what they find out is instead of twisting the truth, which will always stand, they only twist their mind and become vain and self-serving. And our minds become sick and we love sin and we hate God. We twist it all up. When it should be the opposite. We should hate sin and love God. They may even make deadly statements to prove their futility of their mind. You may have heard them. The Bible's just an old book of ancient writings, not applicable to this modern man today. I had that told to me just recently, speaking to somebody about the Bible. How in the world can modern man reach back 2,000 years and apply to us? Well, they haven't been reading the Bible I've been reading, because man, it's been speaking about our world very well. Or, God is love and He doesn't care what I do as long as I love others like they love others. I don't love others like I should. And they think they love others. They love those they love. Well, even the heathen do that. They don't love their enemies. So they are going to meet the Lord on what their definition of love is. Or, as long as I believe, that's all that counts. As long as I believe. Just believe. How many times have I heard that? And I always say, hey, the devil believes and he trembles. Remember? I was preaching that here recently. At least the devil's smart enough to tremble. We don't even tremble. We believe and don't tremble. Go on like we own the world or something. Or maybe here's the one, it's my last one. Every religion is all the same, just naming the same God with a different name. Now, what I preached this morning with Cornelius, if Peter would have showed up and said any other name other than Jesus, would he have been saved? Absolutely not. There's only one name, get amongst men, by which we must be saved. Only one. We must be completely and totally loyal to Jesus and His Word. Or people will not become in the faith in Christ. Annie Sullivan, the tutor for young Helen Keller, who was deaf, dumb, couldn't speak, and blind, stated that she learned that she must teach Helen to obey before she could teach her to read or write. Even Helen Keller, poor little Helen Keller, poor little pitiful Helen Keller, can't see, can't hear, can't speak, and was still rebellious in her heart. And Annie Sullivan saw it and demanded obedience. And at that point, when she gained obedience, this deaf, mute, blind girl became one of the greatest persons in our country. Helen Keller. Things that we adore today. But it's the same for you and me. The first step in getting away with this old man is obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Young people, obey the Lord. Nothing else really can happen until that happens. Well, what is another reason we should not walk as the old man? Well, because they are alienated from the life of God. They're separate. Separated from it. This simply states that because of the futility of the mind, it has darkened their understanding and separates them from God, making them alienated from the life of God in Christ Jesus. What you believe about God is critical to your soul. Can I say that again? What you believe about God is critical to your soul and will decide your destiny. An alien that comes from a different country and culture, let's name them, has different customs and practices than Americans. We're not always very welcome in other countries. We walk around like we own the place. It's because we're here, we do. We, as Americans, do not trust our government. We're not supposed to. We've been called not to. We have a constitution that tells us not to. That we're to obey the law of the land in the Constitution. And so we take that outside of our country. And I tell you what, when your Constitution leaves you at the border, if you haven't figured that out yet, I had a friend go down to Mexico, a police buddy of mine, and he's on the beach. And he can see this American walking down the beach, smoking a marijuana cigarette in Mexico. There's prisons in Mexico. When you go to prison in Mexico, they don't feed you. Your family has to. And it's not like high desert up here. It's different. And you can die. And he's walking down there, and he walks up to the guy and says, hey man, get rid of your doobie there. What are you talking about? This is Mexico. Hey, I'm here to tell you, buddy. Get rid of that cigarette. I don't know. He's walking. Marty Wright says, I'm sitting on the beach when the federales come around him. And the guy's sitting there. He's got his wife. What? They're hooking him up. And Marty Wright goes, this is horrible. He walks down there and says, hey, man, what's going on? What's going on? Hey, this man's going to jail. He goes, marijuana, hey, you're going to prison. And Marty Wright pulls out his wallet. A 50? Mm-mm. 100? Mm-hmm. 100 bucks, uncuff them, because they're all corrupt. It's horrible. And they unhandcuffed him, and Marty Wright saved this guy's life for 100 bucks. Your jurisdiction. Our freedom. Our freedom, listen to me, is in Christ. When you step out of that, you're on your own. You stay close to Christ. You'll have to deal with all sorts of messes. Well, when it comes to an alien coming from a different country and a culture has different customs and practices that are contrary to the customs and the country that we're living in here. I've come across that several times as a policeman, especially in the area of domestic battery. With families from the East or Asia or India, Middle East or parts of Africa. In those countries, a wife is a piece of property. They don't have the standard that a Christian country would have of a woman. In fact, I'm here to tell you, I believe that the Christian religion holds a woman up higher than any other religion. You'll say, well, I had a lady at the police department. I told that to her. She's a friend of mine. She goes, well, I think America does good. I said, really? Our pagan culture, the pornography industry, has really lifted the women up. I don't think so. It's horrible. It has devastated our culture. It's demoralized our women. Just today on the radio, I'm hearing about people, young ladies being found dead with sex crimes attached to their deaths. It just goes on and on. We can't get out. It happens all the time in America. But we lift women up. Well, these folks come here and they treat their wives like that in our country, and they find out very soon it doesn't work. They go to jail. I had a domestic battery right up here on Virginia Street years ago. The people finally called after 2 days of screaming. And I knocked on the door, and the man stepped out. He was from, Amsterdam. Muslim side of it. And he was standing there, and I said, hey, I've been hearing some yelling. Can you step out, please? I want to check your apartment. So he stepped out. When I walked in, the woman looked weird. She was puffy, like really puffy and black and blue. And she could hardly see me, and she thought I was him, and she fled from me in hysteria. And I had to chase her through the apartment, and she was down the corner saying, and just screaming her head off. I couldn't even understand what she was saying. I said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay, it's the police. There was not a spot on her that was not black and blue. For 3 days, he took the dowel out of the closet and beat her and hit her in the throat with it. And it separated the skin and her larynx, and she began to put air between her skin and her muscles. She's kind of blowing up. One more day, she'd have perished. I had a sergeant there that I was just a rookie. And I said, have you ever seen one this bad? No, not this bad other than dead. It's the worst I ever seen. Sergeant Major Butterman said that to me. And he had absolutely no conviction for this. This is appalling. And I took him to jail, and I went down and I visited her off duty to see if she survived. About 3 days later, I was in the hospital visiting her with another officer. I went down there with him, and she had $12,000 and 2 plane tickets. And I said, you get on the plane when you get out of here and leave him here. Go home to mom and dad. And she did. She took the money and the plane tickets. Back when plane tickets were hard to come by, they didn't have this computer thing we have as much. But you see, we need a new life. We can't live this old man's life. It was horrible. Another reason we should not live and walk as the old man is because they are morally insensitive. The word used here commonly is a heart that's callous or past feeling. The Bible says when he comes, the Lord comes, that we will be losing natural affection. Natural affection. What I'm talking about, don't you read about it? Mothers killing their kids. Fathers doing the same. We get so deep in our sin of sexual immorality and sorcery and drugs and alcohol that we take the ones that are closest to it, they take their lives. This is happening. And we begin to see that there's no affection within a family. That's not normal. That's unnatural. And we're losing that. And it's a pattern of life, and we lose understanding and a pattern of life that starts to become callous and to a normal pain or pleasure from God. We become morally insensitive to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You've burnt yourself. I burnt myself this week. Out there with boys survival. I about didn't survive. I got a little oil on me, ran down my arm, and I mean, it just went right through the meat. It was hot. I was dancing around. And Hope laughs when I do that, but she thinks it's funny when I burn my fingers and I'm like, you know. But this is how our heart is. And in all reality, this very message I'm preaching today is either touching your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's hitting a heart that is callous and past feeling and possibly making it even more callous. The Bible says His word will not return void. Every sermon I hear, every scripture I read, every service we walk out of, we remain the same. We either embrace it in our hearts and become softer towards the Lord and His word, or we reject it. We do nothing about it, and our hearts become harder towards God. Don't think that every time you walk out of a service without yielding to the Holy Spirit, you stay the same. And think the same opportunity will be back next time you hear the Word of God with that kind of power. This very well could be the last message you will ever hear and be convicted. Did you hear that? This could be the last time you hear the gospel and be convicted. I stood in church over there at Stead during revival of a pastor preaching, and I saw a man off to my right that was shaking with conviction. I was just a 22-year-old kid. And I looked over there and went, he is just suffering. And he was standing there, literally like this, as we were singing the invitation. And I said, I have to move. I have to move on this guy. I know him. I know his family. I know his mother. I went over there and said, hey, I will walk up there with you if you want to go forward and meet the Lord. That's what he said. I am going nowhere. And he turned around. And you know, the shaking kind of subsided. And 2 years later, at 47, he died of a heart attack. You can't do that all the time. You can't sit there and put off Christ all the time. Another reason is because they are behaviorally depraved. We see that in verse 19. The last step in this downward spiral is most noticeable by us. It's difficult to see a twisted mind, or a separated heart, or an alienated from life of God, or a heart that's callous. We don't get to see that, but behaviorally, we get to see that. We get to see the depraved man, and it's self-evident. Though the sicknesses are running through the victim's body, it was not detected until a behavior problem showed up. You know, you start coughing, got a runny nose, to know that there's a disease inside. Hope's cousin, Jackie, I never knew her. But she was at a restaurant one night and dropped her napkin on the floor, and she reached down to pick up her napkin, and she came back up and her eye wouldn't open. She goes, "Look at that. My eye won't open. Look at that." Isn't that funny? Everybody started laughing. She said, "I can't open my eye." She couldn't open her eye for 2 days. She went to the doctor. They went, "That's not right." They did an MRI on her head, 19 tumors in her brain. All the size of about a quarter. She was dead in 3 weeks. Left a family, 2 boys, husband. Everything was fine until we saw something wrong. Our behavior tells a story of our heart's condition. That's why we don't want to do this. That's why we need to be delivered. You shall know them by their fruits. What's growing on them? We had a man dying of AIDS in Reno, Nevada. We had an AIDS clinic back then. And this man really was really getting down. He was just skin and bones and just really sick. And they came to him at this clinic in downtown Reno and said, "You know, this is really probably one of your last times just to go out, have some lunch on your own. And just have some time. You know, we're going to give you an hour. If you have any problems, we can have someone go with you." He goes, "No, I'll do it. Thank you so much." He's been dying for years of AIDS. And he left the clinic. And instead of going to lunch, he went down to our local park and propositioned a man who was undercover in our park in broad daylight. And as we arrested him, I thought, "Oh, pity, pity. Here, this is your last good day on earth." And what does a depraved heart do? You can throw AIDS in there, you can throw whatever. It might be drugs, it goes back to its sin instead of repenting. Let me tell you, folks, without the Holy Spirit, that's you and that's me. We do not have the power to pick righteousness. Our heart always, our old man will always go to the flesh. And so, where are you at? How can I walk as God has commanded and enabled me? And I'm going to go fast because I'm out of time. Way out of time. Put off the old man. Verse 22 says that. The actual word picture here is the Greek is literally take off the filthy coat and get rid of it. And cast it from you. It indicates two things that it must occur to put off the old man. First of all, you got to repent. You're walking this way, you turn from that. Remember that tower falling, 13 people dying? And then Jesus says, "Unless you repent, you likewise shall perish." And then the next thing is lordship. You make him Lord of your life. You have a little throne on your heart, get off of it. Put Jesus on it. And say, "Be Lord of my life." The greatest contradicting statement in Christianity today is, "No, Lord." That's not coming out of our mouth. And number two, put on the new man, just like you would a coat. Put it on. In your mind and your heart, put on this new man. And live for the Lord. This also is a word picture that shows a person putting on a new coat. It's clean. It fits just right. It was created for you, it says here, in righteousness and truth. It's personal. It was for you. It says in true righteousness, it's describing being truly right in a relationship with God through Christ alone. And it says holiness. These are some things that depict us as a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ. This is describing being holy, separate in God's service and life. We're different. I want to ask you, all of us, children alike, well, how do you dress and why do you dress? We know. I see it. If a young woman dresses to attract people to her body, it's obvious. They want to attract it to your body. You don't want a man like that, ladies, that wants to be attracted to your body. Why don't you dress to be attracted to your inner beauty? Young men, we can dress so that we attract that girl that we know we shouldn't. Or we can dress modestly to attract a godly girl. Not only with our dress, but how we act. How are you dressing yourself? Put on a uniform for Christ. You know what's happened to me every time I went down to the police station, I opened that locker and I put that bulletproof vest on. And I put that gun belt on and I put that shirt on and I slapped that badge on and I looked in the mirror. Something happened to me. My wife could really sense it when she got around me. She'd come down and meet me or something in front of the station. I might have forgot something. And she'd want to hold my hand. I'm sorry, sonny. I don't want anybody to know that you're even belonging to me. I was at war. I was in a different mode. I had other things on my mind. I had put on a uniform. And I'm now a target. And I'm at war. Now that's kind of a little over the top for police work, but it really does happen that way. I want you to put on Christ and live like it. It'll change you. I have preachers tell me, why do you wear a suit in the pulpit? Something happens to me because I think it's important for what I'm doing. And I know preachers around here not wearing a suit. It doesn't bother me. But I do. I mean, if the president does, because he thinks what he's doing is important, surely the gospel is more important than what the president said today. So, put on Christ.